Well, Father, thank you for this word. Through Christ our Lord, amen.
Well, that was neat.
Well, tonight we're going to be talking about flesh and spirit as figures on antonyms. So we're going to, this is really an academic session tonight, but it's very important to understand the word. You know, ambiguity, Yahweh's words are not. And ambiguity is questionable. If you want a communication, it can't be questionable. It can't be questionable in, you know, when they're doing a surgery. It can't be questionable when you're going on a trip in a direction. Everything has to be exact to get you where you want to go. Yahweh's words are exact. But many times going into English and our translators, they have made them so ambiguous, we're not quite sure what they mean. And so just an example is, what's the difference between love and kindness and loving kindness? And so you start looking at it, it just all kind of merges together, and you're like, I don't know, they're all just good. Well, you always got a word for each, mm-hmm. you know, and it's got a meaning for each specific word, or otherwise you just have one word. You wouldn't have three different words. And that's a problem with the King James. The word destroy, used in the King James, the old King James, is referencing 48 different Hebrew words. So you have 48 different Hebrew words, and you translate them all the same, destroy. Which obviously, what you've lost is complete meaning. So, you know, all words, back to what we've done before, all words have a literal meaning. Or otherwise, there's ambiguity. And then the figures come after that, and the figures come after something related to the literal meaning. So here's just an example of gold, the mineral gold. Okay, we know what it is. Is there a synonym for that? And a synonym means same name. So it's really, antonym means opposite name. Synonym means same name. So when we look at our books and they say a synonym, you get a book and they have 10 different words for one word, these aren't synonyms. Now what synonym do we have for the sun? Yeah. No, we have the sun. You know, there's one word, it's called the sun. Gold, there's one word, it's gold. We can say this, you know, the sunset is golden. Okay, well, is that tied to the literal gold? Yeah, it is, because the literal gold is yellow. So we can use it as a figure, but that's golden is a figure for gold. But gold is a literal word. So we must re-examine if communication is of any value to you. And then obviously in regular life, close is good enough. That's what they say. Horseshoes and hand grenades are, you know, close is good enough. And so that person says, I love pop, I love pizza, I love my mother, I love God. It's the same word, and you're like, ambiguous? Yes, absolutely. All right. But we're going to get into that. So synonym means the S-Y, N is same, and homonym is name, same name. Let's see here, nothing to do with the metal. And so I think of another one is, what's the synonym for a bovine? And so we call them cattle, and it's not cattle, that's the word chattel. Chattel just means personal property. So where we got the word cattle, well, we call them a cow. Well, no, a cow is a female of different species. It can be a moose is a cow, and so that's not, what is this creature? Well, they're actually called bovines. What's a synonym for bovine? There is none.
Yeah.
Now, there are some things that are maybe close, like serpent and snake. I have to look at those two words, etymology. But serpent and snake, okay. That could be a synonym because it referred to the same thing. I thought of oxygen. What's a synonym for oxygen? Well, I mean, there might be a Latin word. But there is no synonym. Yeah. And so when we start getting into a phase where I have 10 supposedly synonyms for one word, something's wrong here in communication. So we're going to be looking at flesh in opposition to spirit. And the spirit we're talking about as used in the scripture is, this particular spirit is not Holy Spirit. So we have to understand there is a literal meaning of ruach. And so the Hebrew word is ruach. And the first usage is Genesis 1:2. And the spirit of Elohim hovered over the face of the water. That's the first usage of ruach, which we're going to take as the first of the literal meaning of the word. And we find that that particular situation what is ruach? Well, it's power. We can see in that particular deal, because all of a sudden he said, light be, light was, and everything starts cracking. It's invisible. You can't see it. And it's also what they call air in motion. And so how Yahweh uses that is when it's in the breeze of the day, Adam and Yahweh are walking in the breeze of the day. That's the word ruach. Breath, when we see the word breath, that is spirit. Spirit is the Latin word for breath. And so do we say holy breath? The Holy Spirit, holy breath. When people say, I have the spirit, I have the breath. So we have to realize we even got it so mixed up that we've got a word, a spirit, and we've given a whole different meaning. But it has nothing to do with the actual meaning, the literal meaning, or even the Latin spirit. And why we can say breath, excuse me, is to expire means what?
To breathe out.
Breathe out. You know, somebody died, you breathe out, your last breath. To inspire is to breathe in. To aspire is to breathe up. So we have spire, which is the word spirit, in all these words.
Spire is spirit?
Yeah, S-P-I-R-E is spirit. It's Latin, and so we use it every day. The Greek word is pneuma, right? So we have for air, what do we have? Pneumatic tools, air tools. We have pneumonia, which is breathing. So right along with it, it's all to do with air in motion, air. But we're going to see in Romans and stuff, we're not talking about the literal meaning. And so we have to grab a foundation. So it's flesh and spirit, which we will see. And the flesh, we're going to see, is basar, which is number 1320.
Spell it, please.
B-A-S-A-R. And it's not, it just means flesh. Now, in our particular context, it's going to be elliptical, which means ellipsis, which means it's not part of the word. When we say, when Yahweh says they'll become one flesh, well, it's one human flesh. The word human is left out, because flesh can also mean animal. So Passover, it talks about in Exodus 12:8, you eat the flesh. Well, so flesh is animals, and we know carnal. Okay, very simply. But when many times when it talks about in Romans flesh and spirit, we're talking about human flesh. We're not talking about animal flesh, which is automatically goes without saying because of its context. But it's still being left out. You know, because we said flesh, what kind of flesh? Animal, okay. And now the spirit is ruach, which is 7307. The literal meaning, we've already gone over that. It's really the power from Yahweh. And now we're going to look at flesh and spirit, but not as antonyms, on how the Holy Spirit came upon all flesh, which is we go into Joel 2:28. So we've got to re-grab our language. If we care anything about communicating, which Yahweh does.
Joel what?
2:28. And it has both the words in there, flesh and ruach. Page 871. Won't be different on yours. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my, what?
Ruach.
Spirit, ruach, upon all flesh. Obviously, is that humans?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we automatically, ellipsis means it's left out. all flesh, and here is going to give the manifest, the, really one of the definitions of the Spirit using this context of literal meaning, and your sons and your daughters, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Okay. We're starting to define what this particular usage is. Your old men shall dream dreams. This is all powered, the supernatural. And your young men shall see visions. So we have prophecy, dreams, visions. Moreover, also upon the servants, upon the handmaid in those days where I pour out my spirit, and I will set wonders in the heavens. We'll just kind of stop there. But you're seeing this particular spirit, which is what we call Holy Spirit, and it's even in this particular case, you see, he didn't capitalize spirit in this. And so in our translations, many times, they're going to capitalize it when they think it's God the Holy Spirit, you know, which is wrong. In the same place, if we go to Acts 2, Peter's going to quote this, of what is happening on the day of Pentecost. And guess what? It's going to be capitalized then. It's not capitalized in Joel. And you say, well, that can't be. So that's Acts 2:16. But this is that which has been spoken through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, saith Yahweh, I will pour out my ruach. Is that capitalized here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Back in Joel, not capitalized. Now, upon all flesh, and he starts quoting it, here's flesh and spirit. These are not antonyms. So we're going to look at, and when Paul starts dealing with spirit and flesh, they are opposites. This spirit goes right on to the flesh and becomes better.
Okay.
Right? They're not opposites. The flesh in this particular case is not evil. It is, the spirit comes upon human beings. And so the spirit is coming upon Adams. And so even the word human, we shouldn't use the word human, we should use the word Adam. We are not humans, we are Adams. That's what Yahweh called mankind, Adams. Adam. Let's go here, we got that. Now we're going to go into the teaching, flesh and spirit, as the antonyms, but it's not Holy Spirit. So what we're looking at is not a literal meaning of the word spirit. And in the Greek, it's pneuma. But, you know, in Hebrew, it's ruach. In Greek, it's pneuma. Both of them are breath. And so they can transfer over. So we go to Romans chapter 7.
Is pneuma ever used as wind?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And in Greek culture, in Greek writing, pneuma has nothing to do with supernatural life. It's completely physical.
Called the suke.
Suke is. So, and that suke is soul.
Pneuma hagion. What was that?
Holy Spirit. Well,
okay.
Holy Spirit.
Yeah. But in the Greek world, pneuma is just air in motion. It's wind or anything like that. It had nothing to do with any kind of power, any kind of invisible force that comes from Yahweh. There's no association. Now, in the Greek language, what they had in the Greek language with Plato and Socrates was psuche, which the soul, the psuche, left the body when you died. Which obviously is not true, and man doesn't have a suke, you know, which is really nefesh in the Hebrew, and so that's where we got so much of our false teaching is
from Greek.
Some Greek culture. Hades is Greek culture, Thanos is Greek culture, you know, suke is something that's separate from the body. We got, you know, and so that's all Christianity today is Greek culture, or a great percentage of it.
So Romans what?
So,
7.
Yeah, so, but we're going to look at what's the difference? We're going to put these two together in contrast. You know, antonyms, the ant means opposite name. So we have flesh in opposition to spirit. And so we're going to see that flesh is visible. We can see that. And spirit is not invisible. We're going to look at, it appears in this, flesh is earthly, and spirit is heavenly. You know, the flesh is the law of sin, and we're going to see the spirit is like the law of Yahweh, the law of God. Death, you know, flesh is death in these particular contexts. Spirit is life. Okay. All right? We look at when it comes down to flesh is the fall of Adam, and spirit is the triumph of Christ. Okay. And we're all going to see flesh really comes into, as we're going to see later on, too, with heart. With the word heart, which we'll do a little bit later. But we'll go to Romans 7, 5, to understand the book of Romans, and not to overdo it. So most people have overdone. This is very important. Most people have overshot Paul's epistles. Let's just go to Romans, 3, and then we'll come back to 7. Just to give you an illustration. The whole book has to fit together. Here's 10. Even as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that discerneth. There is none that seeketh after God. All have turned aside, together have become useless. There is none that doeth kindness, not so much as one. A scepter open is their throat. With their tongue have they used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth of cursing and bitterness is full. Swift are their feet to shed blood, destruction and misery. And it goes on and on. But the point is, there is none righteous, not even one. Oh, wait a minute. That's not what Jesus said at all. So in the gospel, he said, good master, what must I do to inherit life age abiding? And what did he respond? There's none righteous. There's no, not one. Yeah. You can't inherit eternal life. He didn't say that. He didn't at all. He says,
work.
What does the book say? You know, love Yahweh, love your neighbor. And if you do this, you will get it. Okay, so we got like, okay, this is like an overbearing situation, but many church people have got this, that, you know, we're all feces, it doesn't make any difference. We're all the same and we can't do any better, and by the grace, which is the wrong word, it's really the favor of Yahweh, we have salvation. And so you've got to realize, okay, these are really not gelling together. Well, Jesus was wrong. No, he wasn't wrong. Yeah. So keep that in point. Now we go to 7.
It also says called righteous law.
So you have to say that, okay, and it's very easy if you just read the Romans. That's what it looks like, right? It says that. You have to go back to the Psalms on that verse to realize what context it's used. But 7:5, For when we were in the flesh, now you're like, okay, we still are, the susceptibilities of sin which we through the law used to be energized in our members unto the springing forth of fruit unto death. So now, in this particular category, flesh is death. Let's see here. So that, you'll go to verse 18. And I know in fact that there is dwelleth not in me, that is in my flesh, anything good. Well, we know in a literal sense that's not true at all. Because I can do a lot of good things with my flesh. And so this has to be talking into a figurative sense. We're going to look at that as the natural man. And I think most people resonate with that because I can do good things all the time.
Yeah.
Moses did good things. You know, Noah did good things. And so you're like, what is this? All right, but in this particular context, you got to keep this in mind and see the figurative usage. So, yeah, 18. For I know a fact that dwelleth not in me, that is in my flesh, anything good, for the wishing lieth near me, but the working out of that which is right, not. For not the good that I wish I do, but the evil that I do not wish, the same I practice. Well, sometimes. But sometimes the things that I want to do, I do. And they are good. So we have to remember, sometimes, and you're looking at that.
Right.
So by looking at this, you've got to pull back and looking at the new meanings of what he's trying to communicate. We can know what it's not. You know, and let's go to 25. But thanks be to Yahweh through Yahushua our Lord. Hence then, I myself with the mind am in servitude under the law of God. Okay, now we're looking at the mind is going to be related to spirit, which we're going to see. But with the flesh unto the law of sin. Okay, now here's, you know, so now what we've got here is an antonym, which is mind against flesh. One's good, my flesh is bad. Now let's go to 8, 1, and 9. Now this will come, we'll see the combat between flesh and spirit. Hence there is now no condemnation unto them who are in Christ Yahushua, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Yahushua has set me free from the law of sin and death. And we're going to look at this usage of spirit here, we're going to look at here, has nothing to do with Holy Spirit. So we got to separate that. For what was impossible by the law in that it was weak through the flesh, God, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and concerning sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So we got flesh, sin, spirit, life. In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who not according to the flesh do walk, but according to the spirit. And so, now that's the antonym. Spirit, flesh against spirit. For they who are according to the flesh have their being the things of the flesh to prefer, but they according to the spirit the things of the spirit. For what is preferred by the flesh is death, whereas what is preferred by the spirit is life and peace. So you get to see the antonym. Flesh, death, spirit, life. Inasmuch as what is preferred by the flesh is hostile towards God. Well, we know that's not a true statement, but in this particular discourse, you know, I with my flesh, I do very good things for Yahweh, and that's how I facilitate, you know, giving offerings, giving tithes, helping people, everything else. But this is not talking about that. It's really talking about really a Cain, in my opinion, and an Abel. So what we've got is two different characters, and I tell everybody else too. There's only two kind of people in the world. You're either a Cain, and you're going to be thrown in the lake of fire, or you're an Abel, you're going to be on the new earth. There's no in between. Where was I? Let's go 9. But ye have not your being in flesh, but in spirit. So obviously, this is all figure, because, yeah, obviously I live in the flesh, but in spirit. If at least God's Spirit, now this particular usage of Spirit is going to mean recommend Holy Spirit.
So he capitalizes it there.
Yeah, so now we've got, you know, we've got a literal meaning of power dwelleth in you, and if anyone hath not Christ's Spirit, the same is not his. But if Christ is in you, so now we're talking about believers. Before flesh and spirit, we're talking about
humans.
Yeah, we're talking about the devil nature of mankind that happened, which we're going to see. And let's see here. And yeah, let me go ahead and do this. In 1 Corinthians 3. We're going to start identifying this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Of this interplay between flesh and spirit. I therefore, brethren, have not been able to speak unto you as to men of the Ruach, but as to men of the flesh, as unto babes in Christ. With milk have I fed you, not with meat, for not yet have you been able. Nay, not even now are you able, for are not ye fleshly? So we're going to start identifying what fleshly actually means. For whereas there are among you jealousy and strife. So fleshly now is being defined. And it's not, has anything to do with the literal flesh. It has everything to do with the characters that can happen to an individual, which is jealousy and strife. Are you not fleshy and after the manner of men walking? And so here's the other thing too. We have flesh associated with men, and we're going to have walking by the Spirit righteous individuals. Now we go to Galatians 5. I say moreover, by spirit be walking, okay, and fleshly covetings you will in no wise fulfill. Okay, well, I have to walk in my flesh because I can't leave my body. So obviously it's not talking about a spirit of Holy Spirit, it's it's capitalized there. For the flesh coveth against the spirit, but the spirit against the flesh. For these are on one another are opposed, so that's the antonym. That's whatever things you chance to desire, these you shall be doing. And if by spirit you are being led, you are not under the law. Now that could be Holy Spirit there. Now here is the flesh defined. Manifested, however, are the works of the flesh. So when we say flesh, this is what we're talking about, which indeed are, we saw last time, jealousy and strife, fornication, impurity, wantonness, idolatry, enchantments, imminence, strife, jealousy, outburst of wrath, faction, division, parties, envying, drunkenness, reveling. And as such as these, and such things as these, as to which I forewarn you, even as I forewarned you, that they who such things as these do practice shall not inherit Yahweh's kingdom. Now, we're going to go into, but the fruit of the Spirit, and this is not Holy Spirit. It can't be. And you got to say, why isn't it Holy Spirit? And because, keep your hand here. We're going to go where it is Spirit. And we're going to come right back to you. 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 7. If the fruit of the Spirit, if there was Holy Spirit, the unbeliever could not do the things that it's going to say they are. Because it could, you can't, because, and we're going to see here, the manifestations of the Spirit are things that an unbeliever cannot do. You can't speak in tongues, you can't interpret, you can't prophesy, you can't work miracles, and they're listed here, starting in 12:7. But unto each one is given the manifesting of his Spirit, which is a view to what is profitable. For unto one indeed through the Spirit is given a word of wisdom, to another word of knowledge, discerning spirits, faith, miracles, healings, tongues of interpretation, prophecies. There's 9 manifestations of that Spirit. Can an unbeliever do any of those? He can't do even one of those. Because he doesn't have Holy Spirit. If he has Holy Spirit, which is an think of it as a physical entity. Now, we can't see it, we can't put it in a microscope, but we can actually have it manifested. Just like, really, life, in the same way, too. Can you put life under a microscope? No. And you can't identify and say, okay, I'm going to remove the life from the seed, and the seed is dead. But you got all these components, but there's life, and nobody can really identify what life is. So we see in this particular usage, unbelievers cannot do this. Now let's go back to Galatians. Unbelievers can do this on the 9 fruits. But these are talking about, in contrast to the works of the flesh, to, you know, the fruits of the Spirit. So can an unbeliever do love?
Yeah. Yes.
Can they do joy? Yeah. Can they have peace? Yes. Can they have long suffering? Every time you see long suffering, it's really the word what?
Slow to anger.
Slow to anger. So long suffering is the wrong word. They did this back in the Old Covenant. Not part of the teaching, but slow to anger means, is somebody going to get eventually get angry?
Yeah, you're going to get popped. Yeah.
Long suffering, is somebody going to get popped?
No.
No. Big difference. So are they synonyms? Absolutely not. One relationship is, there is a time element, but that's the only thing to do. But one's long suffering, which means you're never going to get popped. One is slow to anger, you're going to get it.
Like one has a long fuse, the other one doesn't have a fuse.
We're going to see that with Sodom and Gomorrah. They're going to get it. But long suffering, graciousness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness. Can an unbeliever have self-control?
Yeah.
Can an unbeliever have meekness?
Sure.
Yeah. And so this, even though it's capitalized, this is not Holy Spirit.
Wow.
It's a figure. It's a figure in contrast, an antonym to the qualities. When they say spirit, this is what the qualities are. When you say flesh, the other thing is what the qualities are. Fornication, adultery. Let's go to chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Guess we're right there. Be not deceived yourself. Yahweh is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, the same will he also reap. Because he that soweth unto his own flesh, out of the flesh shall reap corruption. As we saw the works of the flesh over here. Fornication. What are you going to get? Syphilis. You're going to get gonorrhea. You're going to get AIDS. You're going to reap corruption. Whereas he that soweth into the Spirit, not the Holy Spirit, but living the... In contrast to that, doing really the Word of Yahweh. And so you're going to find out, I either do the Word of Yahweh or I don't do the Word of Yahweh. We're going to see this with the heart. Out of the Spirit shall reap age, abiding, and life. Now we go to Colossians 3. We're going to see this more being developed. 5 through 9. Now here's the flesh and the spirit. The Cain or the Abel. So I think looking at that, you got Satan or Yahushua. A good contrast. Satan was an angel of light.
Mm-hmm.
Chose death. Cain chose death. Abel chose life. Yahushua chose life.
Wow.
So, 5, make dead, therefore, your members that are on the earth. Okay, back to the flesh. As regarded fornication, impurities, passion, base covetings, and greed, which is idolatry, on account of which things cometh the anger of Yahweh, wherein you also walked at one time when you were living in these things. But now, do you also put them all away? Here's other qualities of the flesh. Now, the flesh is being identified. Anger, wrath, baseness, defamation, shameful talk out of your mouth. Be not guilty of falsehood one to another, having stripped off the old man together with his practices, which the old man is going to be the flesh, and having put on the new, who is being molded afresh unto personal knowledge after the image of him that hath created him. That's the spirit, the ruach. And verse 13, or 12, put on, therefore, as men chosen of Yahweh, holy and beloved. We're supposed to put it on. These are things that it's not a gift. We're actually supposed to do it. Tenderness. Also, we have the fruits of the Spirit, and here's other manifestations of the Spirit walk. Tender affections of compassion, graciousness, lowliness of mind. And a lot of these are associated back with the fruit of the Spirit. Lowliness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, right? Bearing one with another in favor, forgiving one another. If any against any have a complaint, according to the Lord is favoring, forgave you, so also ye. And over all these things, love. And so, love, hate. The flesh is hate. The spirit is love. And so when I say spirit, so how is this figure being used? Well, the figure is going to be used as is. These things are invisible, like spirit is. I had those other lists. Obviously, it's pleasing to Yahweh, while the other one was not. And you start going into of the figure, how this spirit is being used as a figure in relationship to the literal meaning. And the literal meaning is the spirit of Yahweh is always pure and good. Why, if you're walking in light, you're going to be doing things good. And the spirit of Yahweh, now we know that the impure spirit is a demon. And so that would be an impure breath. And so spirit can be used in many different ways. And so we can see in that particular usage, the ruach is, it's invisible, right? Because it's inside of an individual. It's, in this case, it's a powerful, yeah, it is. It's very powerful. You know, looking at when it's part of a human being. Let's see. Now we go to 10. 3:10. Oh, I already did that, didn't we? Yeah. 14. Now, to kind of sum things up, we're going to look at what else is this related to? It's really the heart of man. And heart is used, the word, it's Leb, L-E-B, number 38:20. And it can be evil or it can be good, the heart. You choose. But let's look at, so think of flesh also as spirit. Then now we're going to look at heart. It can either be evil, and we're going to see, and that's in Genesis 6. Yahweh uses heart.
David also.
Oh yeah, so you know, heart is a great study in itself on how it's used, but it's on both sides. Okay, 6:5-8. This is before Noah's deluge. Then Yahweh saw that great was the wickedness of man in the earth, and that every purpose and device of his what?
Heart.
So this is kind of the epitome of flesh we're seeing in Romans. Was only wicked all the day, and it grieved Yahweh that he made man in the earth, and he took sorrow into his heart. Sorrow into his heart. Isn't that great? Which doesn't mean a heart is evil, but it's like the core of man, or the principle of man. And obviously, Leb, L-E-B, it can be a physical heart, and also this heart is a figure. Figure about the inner core. Really, I guess if you look at that, the heart is our life force for our body. Without our heart, you know, we can get rid of one kidney, we can get rid of one lung, we get rid of one arm, one leg, one eye, one ear. There's only got one heart.
Yeah.
And if your heart goes, you're done. The same way, why was I saying that?
Do it literal and figurative.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I forgot. I was going somewhere with that. Verse 7, Yahweh said, I must wipe off man whom I created from off the face of the ground, from man unto beast, unto creeping things, unto the bird of the heavens, for I am grieved that I made them. Now the opposite, but Noah hath found favor in the eyes of Yahweh. And we know, so that his heart is good. And so they were looking at the flesh and the spirit in contrast of somebody serving. 8:21, Genesis 8:21. And Yahweh smelled a sacrificing odor. So Yahweh said to him, I will not again curse any more the ground for man's sake through the device, although the device of the heart of man be wicked from his youth, neither will I again any more smite every living thing as I have done. So we're looking at heart, looking at flesh, but as we know it, this is where it's used in the bad sense. With Noah, it was in a good sense. Psalms 9:1.
I know this one.
And we know all the good places where it is. I will praise Yahweh with all my heart. That's it. I'll recount all thy wonderful doings. So here's the good side of the heart. So there's that Cain side. We know, interesting, he says, his heart is wicked all the day long. Well, the great commandment is, Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Elohim, Yahweh is one. Thou hast therefore Ahab, Yahweh, thy God, with all thy heart. With all thy heart. Okay. So this goes right back over to here. In the good aspect of it. And same word. Same word. And in Greek, you know, is leb. And Hebrew is cardia.
No, it's just the opposite. Cardia is Greek.
Yeah, it's Greek. That's what I said leb is Hebrew.
Okay.
Yeah, leb, L-E-B is Hebrew. That's 38:20. And cardia, it was K-A-R-D-I-A. We know that cardiac is our heart. That's where we get to our present word is 2588. And we see let's see here. But they can be used interchangeably, so they both represent it. So the point is when you read these things, don't look at the capitalization. Realize with all words, they've got to have a literal meaning first. Our Bibles are deceptive in trying to please men. The word mercy means reward. It doesn't have anything to do with how they use it in this book. Rothram doesn't have the word mercy in his old covenant. That's not what the word means. You can have favor, but not mercy. Mercy means reward. And so through much, and the Rothram is so good at that, is trying to keep things consistent with the same word.
Okay.
Pure, and it's for us to study it and realize there's a literal meaning, and then the figure meaning has to be attached somehow to the literal, or it makes no sense.
Yeah.
And I can't say, gold is literal. I can't say the blue sunset is like gold. No.
Yeah.
This is blue. So I can't use that word in that particular case. And so the word has to be, I can say the sunset when it's yellow is like gold. I can use that. But I can't say when it's good is bad and bad is good and interchange those. So we have so many words today that if we want the communications from Yahweh on what he actually spoke, you have to go to the Hebrew.
Like loving kindness and chesed.
Yeah. And so we've gone chesed, is not loving kindness. Raham is not mercy. That's not compassion. You know, the word compassion means suffer with. So we even have the word passion means suffer. It doesn't mean you have a bold feeling about things. And so so when you read the word compassion, it's not what Yahweh wrote.
Yeah.
He wrote Raham. All right. And when you say compassion, you don't even understand the word what you even say, because to suffer with, so I can have compassion for somebody. So if I have a child who is ill, chronically ill, I suffer with the child. As a parent, that is the correct usage of the word compassion. When I go to to help a particular person, that is not suffering with somebody. I'm helping them. I'm improving their situation. It has nothing to do with suffering.
Yeah.
So we got to retake back the grammar if you want to know the truth. But most people, horseshoes and hand grenades, close enough. I get the older idea. Never read the book ever. Not planning on reading the book. It doesn't matter to them. That's fine too. Like Bollinger said, the top of the soil, you can sustain you. You can buy wheat, you can grains, everything's just fine. You can live happily ever after. But if you want real treasures, you're going to have to dig. And that's where you go for the gold, the silver, diamonds, the emeralds. You're going to have to go underground. And that's where the real treasure, that's where the fuel is, the coal is. You start thinking of all the things. But if you just want to live on top of the earth, that's fine too. You live happily ever after. You just won't get any jewels. So we're going to hear from Father for a prophecy for the audience. be at peace and know that I abide in peace. If you have anxiety, you're not in my will. Faith takes takes away anxiety because I have promised that you are my sons and daughters in whom I will protect. So keep your mind focused on what I have said and not on your circumstances. See you next week.
Amen. Amen.